on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me, our things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are alive. Mercy, mercy, all things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Mercy, can't you stand?
And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibration, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Music is like poetry and has a message. And history is like a diamond that shines clear to the truth. Words have meaning that we can comprehend like definition. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you today to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora, and you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrate. So thank you for joining us again for a different perspective of our community. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to continue by saying today our student host, Walter Pierce, takes a look at the life, at a life of an individual for his diamond segment. And he will then define the word inspiration for his definition. The musical contribution will be about Marvin Gaye, the curtain. Program will always include comments from the elders during and after each segment. Now, let's get Walter in here. Walter, first of all, don't say anything. You're coming on. Good morning, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing good, and good morning to everybody out there. Welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. We're live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And now it is time to get into my first segment of today, which is diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each person represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the truth of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, her name is Fanny Jackson Coppin, and throughout this article on her, you're going to see why she is someone who is important to our community, the African-American community. Now, born a slave, Fanny Jackson was bought into freedom by an aunt while still a small girl. She determined to get an education and, while employed as a domestic servant, studied to enter the Rhode Island State Normal School. In 1860, she entered the Oberlin College, Upon graduating in 1865, Jackson began teaching Latin, Greek, and mathematics at the Institute for Colored Youth, where she also served as principal of the girls' high school department. In 1869, she became head principal of the Institute. She was the first African-American woman in the country to hold such a position, and she quickly began to direct the course of the school. In 1871, Jackson introduced a normal school department, and within a few years, enrollment and teacher training had far exceeded the enrollment in the classics course. To the ordinary work of teacher training, Jackson added a practice teaching system in 1878. In 1881, she married Reverend Levi J. Coppin, who in 1900 became a bishop of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. In 1889, after a 10-year campaign, Fanny Coppin realized her hope to introduce an industrial training department that offered instruction in 10 trades. To her, vocational training was as important as a tool as academic education and the struggle to end racial discrimination. Fanny Coppin resigned her post with the Institute in 1902. That same year, the Coppins sailed for Cape Town, South Africa, and over the next decade, she worked tirelessly among the native black women, organizing mission societies and promoting temperance, as well as finding the Bethel Institute in Cape Town. She then returned to Philadelphia, where she spent the remainder of her life. In 1926, the High and Training School of Baltimore was renamed the Fanny Jackson Coppin Normal School, or now Coppin State University, or Coppin State College. And that concludes my segment on Fanny Jackson Coppin, and she is important to our community because of the HBCU's historical black college and university, which is Coppin State College. I have people who are close to me who went to that school. And it is very important for us, especially as African Americans, to support and attend, you know, these HBCUs because of the history behind it and the reason it was created, so that we as African Americans could get an education like white people in this country has already gotten. And we were not able to get this education, so we had to create these schools so people like us could. Again, thank you for listening to my segment on Fanny Jackson Coppin. You are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU, and this is student host Walter Pierce.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations, and we have with us this morning, always an honor, Tamir Davis, the Black Librarian. And if I can get you to comment on historical Black colleges and universities, good morning. The Black Librarian, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know what? I pressed the wrong button. I apologize. So historically, Black colleges and universities have been a very important part of United States history in terms of colleges being developed out of the Freedmen's Bureau, which was funding that was in place to be able to right, if you will, some of the wrongs. And it was been a big fight. In fact, there was supposed to have been a way of separating and making education equal for Blacks. And so here you have Wilberforce University. Then you have Howard University. A lot of Lincoln University. A lot of historically Black colleges came out of that fund during that particular time. But despite Black colleges still being developed, we still was disenfranchised by having full access to jobs and what have you, because racism still existed in this country and still does exist. A lot of African Americans benefited from it over the years, but that's how it came about through the Freedmen's Bureau.
Okay, thank you very much for your input, Mr. Harris. If you may, good morning.
Good morning, yes. And first let me say that I'm an alumni of a historical Black college, Allen University, started by Richard Allen, who was the first AME minister. And again, you know, just to piggyback on what was just said, these were the kind of institutions that were needed in order for us to move ahead from where we started from in this country. And it's important that we follow through and continue to use the access that they've given us for over the last, 150 or more years? Because I remember the school I went to, Allen University, was in 1870. You know, so this was very soon, right after the emancipation, that, you know, we were already looking at higher education as a way of moving forward as a people. And it's important that we support these type of things now, because some of them are going under, like Morris Brown College in Atlanta almost went under a couple of years ago. You know, it's important that we support the things that made us who we are today. Very important.
Okay. Walter. What do you think about the comments that have just been made?
I agree with what everybody has said, because, you know, going back to HBCUs and the importance of it, you know, it all starts with history. And, you know, us as African Americans not being able to attend the same colleges and universities as white people were, we needed to find a way to get an education, and the best way to do that, you know, was the different creations of HBCUs by numerous intelligent African American people. And, you know, you see it all across the country now, the uprising I see now of, you know, making sure that people go out, you know, support the national recognition that HBCUs are getting from these different programs, from people that have reached such a high level, making sure people, you know, pay attention to HBCUs, you know, and you see them being incorporated into different TV programs. You know, for example, Jackson State, which is a very good example, you know, Deion Sanders coaches their football team, and now they're getting put on ESPN all regularly for their football games, and different HBCUs that they play are getting the TV recognition from other people, which is something that is very important for us.
Okay. I have a song here that I'm going to play, and I think you might find it appropriate. You're tuned to Quest Community Vibration. Coming up next, again, our student host and his definition for the day. Tune to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. We are Quest Youth Radio. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, and those were the beautiful words of Sam Cooke. A change is going to come, and you know that change is going to come. We could definitely say that. But now it is time to get into our next segment of today, which is definitions. And this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined. And my definition or word of the day, you could say, is inspiration. You see, inspiration is the process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something, especially to do something creative. Now, we all have to find inspiration in our lives when we do certain things. For example, things we might not like. You know, the hard work, the dirty work, getting your hands dirty, as people would say. And, you know, the reason you do those things is because you realize what the bigger goal is. And you realize if you want to get to that certain goal, you have to do the little things that, you know, you might not like. you know, and you know, everybody has a different way of finding their inspiration. Either it's a role model or it's a quote or it's just a motto people live by. There's always different ways people find their inspiration. And, you know, I could even attest, you know, when I try to look for inspiration, I look for people who are my role models, who've already either done it or done something that I am just so inspired by that, you know, it inspires me as well. You know, for example, you know, I like to watch movies that deal with our history and our culture. And I see, you know, successful African-Americans thriving through different obstacles and reaching their top goal. And, you know, once I see things like that, that really inspires me to do what I want to do. And I love to see things like that unfold. You know, there's a lot of different movies portraying very African-Americans in our history. So that's what I usually look for, you know, to find inspiration for what I do. Now, you know, I would like to ask you and other people in the panel, you know, Mr. Bay, Mr. Harris, and I want to find out, you know, how do you find your inspiration? Because I know y'all also have your certain goals that you want to achieve, and, you know, you have to do the hard work, or it might be hard sometimes, but, you know, you need to find that inspiration. So in what ways do you guys as well find your inspiration, if I could ask?
Well, sure you can. And we're going to definitely make an attempt. Let's get to Mr. Harris first. Mr. Harris, what do you do for inspiration? What inspires you?
Yeah, well, lately what's been inspiring me is the movement toward a better understanding for our people about where we've been, where we've made our mistakes, and what we need to do to move forward. And as an educator, I think that's very important that we start as young as possible to, like, try to focus the framework of building a better world for everybody. That's really what really moves me to do things and stuff. And I've been doing this for a minute now, and it's really coming to fruition with a lot of stuff. But the challenges of our curriculums and the political climate and stuff that we live in, it's always a struggle. And like a friend of mine told me when I was younger, that the struggle continues and we just have to keep moving. But that's what inspires me.
Well, of course, I have to bring in our Black librarian. And, you know, you're always in the library. I know that sounds ridiculous. But there's just so much inspiration. But what inspires you?
I'm eclectic in terms of inspiration. I think the song that just was played is very inspiring by Sam Cooke. Music inspires me. Art inspires me. Sometimes maybe just walking down the street and just, you know, seeing how people are communicating with each other, or, you know, looking at a movie or looking at a show, that may be inspiring. Sometimes just looking at nature and seeing how birds communicate with each other, or the wind, so on and so forth, and just taking that opportunity to just be around. Sometimes I may just walk in Weekway Park and just see what's going on, and that feel of just having that sense of silence and just talking to my own mind and getting some answers that. And so answers and ideas come from all different types of places and inspiring, so on and so forth. And, you know, that whole idea from Archimedes dealing with Eureka, or I found the answer, comes when you least expects it. I'm open to different ideas and different concepts. And my inspiration comes from art, from life, from music, from dance, from all different types of things, because I'm an artist. I like to listen. I like to read, so on and so forth, stuff like that. And sometimes, most oftentimes, just being silent
give them that time, that mind to just, you know, just relax, and answers come from that too. So inspiration for me comes from the libraries, the poets, museums, good people like yourself, people I'm listening to, come from all different types of places. And as a librarian, it's always good to be, and as a person in general, it's always good to be eclectic in terms of where your ideas and stuff come from. I'm always learning. You know, all I know is what I know not.
Okay. Ooh, all I know is what I know not.
That's from
good
Socrates.
Morning, Tanisha. Oh, okay. Thank you. Tanisha Gardner, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How's everyone doing?
Good, good. What inspires you?
What inspires me is helping others, especially doing my advocating and doing my advocacy work really inspires me, because you see others it's like you helping others do better for themselves, and they be able to get, you know, certain things done, and that's what really motivates me, especially when I help tenants and landlords, you know, especially, you know, help people, you know, stay in their homes. That's very important to me, and that's truly advocacy, and that's truly inspiration.
Okay. You know, in this day and time and the climate that we all have been living through because of the advent of the pandemic, a lot of us or people have definitely been in need of inspiration, motivation, and encouragement. Everyone, you know, Tanisha just spoke about her advocacy and assisting people in need, in trouble, who need help. But I would say that in order to be encouraged and inspired and motivated, one must also, like the Black librarian mentioned, find that moment of silence and meditation within yourself to be encouraged and be honest with yourself about the things that can motivate you to move forward and not be stagnated. Walter, what do you think about the answers that you just received?
What I think about it is it just goes back to my point where everybody has their different ways of finding inspiration. And it is, you know, very important for people to be able to find that, so that they could continue to go on and progress with their lives. And I'm just very happy that everybody, you know, has ways to find the inspiration for their life. And that's all I have for this segment. And you are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU. And this is student host Walter Pierce. We'll be back.
Something I see. Something I sugar. I know it's good. Whole lot of fun going on. Come on, girl. The jumping.
Cornucopia of physics dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium. All vibrations possess a wave nature. You see, in our community, our art is in fact and in spirit the medium through which the waves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no vibrations. This morning, I bring you the story of love. The title, Box Full of Kisses. Some time ago, a man punished a three-year-old girl for wasting a roll of gold wrapping paper. Money was tight, and he became infuriated when the child tried to decorate a box to put under the Christmas tree. Nevertheless, the little girl brought the gift to her father the next morning and said, "This is for you, Daddy." The man became embarrassed by his overreaction earlier, but his rage continued. When he saw that the box was empty, he yelled at her, "Don't you know when you give someone a present, there's supposed to be something inside?" The little girl looked up at him and tears in her eyes and cried, "Oh, Daddy, it's not empty at all. I blew kisses into the box. They're all for you, Daddy." The father was crushed. He put his arms around his little girl and he begged for her forgiveness. Only a short time later, an accident took the life of the child. Her father kept the gold box by his bed for many years, and whenever he was discouraged, he would take out an imaginary kiss and remember the love of the child who had put it in there. The moral of this story is, love is the most precious gift in the world. And as we continue, lounge.
Yeah.
check 1-2. I'm in the spot, no need to ask, you know I want to. Grab the MIC and spit something nice. Drop a cold jewel for brothers that be wanting nice. And for the ladies in the joint, you know I'm glad you came. Please excuse me if I know you but forgot your name. I got a bad memory, but you remember me. You ain't the first to say we had intimacy. But anyway, good to see you again. Party started 9:30, hope to see you at 10. Can't talk to you now, cause I see you with him. But I'ma slide to the side and I'ma leave you a pen. You know what to do, just write your number. And we can hook up and have a private slumber. I love the way the body just moves and sounds. Why, brother, always at the music lounge.
Yeah, sit back, relax, and enjoy the sound. Stand up and get live and just move around. To the music lounge, and the host is the brother with the groovy sound. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the sound. Stand up and get live and just move around. You are now in tune to the music lounge, and the host is the
Tamir Davis, the Black Librarian. You being a family man and married, could you tell us, you know, there's a lot of misconception, a misunderstanding about what love is. But you have the love for your children, the love for your wife. Could you in some way express, you know, because I don't know if you can find this in the library, but what would you say to the story that I just read, and how would you address the word love appropriately?
I would say there's several different ways that I would actually answer that. I think time and patience, endurance, willing to admit when you're wrong, willing to reconcile and work things out, and having great mentors as well. I think my in-laws were great mentors in carrying us through, making sure that it works, getting great advice to make it work. So I didn't know that we would last up to 14 years, but we're 14 years now, And I still love my wife. She still loves me, and we both equally love the children as well. But it's a lot of time, patience, respect for each other. The first couple of years was a bit rocky, but it was a learning curve, and we got through that. But it's good now, and I'm happy.
Okay.
Yeah, but we still have ups and downs. We're willing to collectively work through our differences for the better development of the family, you know. And it's always an ongoing work in progress. It's never a finished situation. It's always constantly working, respect for a person's time and commitment and so on and so forth, stuff like that.
Right. So I'm in agreement with you. Love is definitely a verb. It is actions that you take to make it be love. But Mr. Harris, I'm coming to you. But, you know, we spoke about in our pre-production meeting how the misinterpretation of love has gone awry, and people, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places, and they just have a total misconception of what it really is. But when we talk about having a family and children, right, steer us straight. Give us the solution to that type of problem of a person who just doesn't know what love is. Could you?
Now, if I really could, I would definitely write that book, because It's a multifaceted issue. You know, sometimes people are just looking for companionship. They call that love. People just have a sexual attraction. They call that love. But really, once you get inside of all of that, it's really how you feel about yourself and how that reflects towards other people. That's really when you're starting to get the essence of really what you're talking about as far as love is concerned. You know, because a lot of people are looking for somebody else to validate themselves, when you need to validate yourself first and love yourself before you can be able to share that essence with anybody else. And that's kind of the issue of what other people are having. We have these holes, I won't say holes in our souls, but, you know, but and we're trying to fill those holes with outside stimulation, where you really need to try to get some kind of understanding yourself and then work with other people to help strengthen those bonds where you're weak, and use your strength to help them strengthen their weaknesses, and possibly together y'all can reach a level of consciousness that's going to take you to the next level.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I'm doing.
I think you hit it on the head. Don't go around talking about to love someone until you learn how to first love yourself. Tanisha Gardner, do you love yourself? And good morning again. I know you do.
Oh, yes, yes, you got to love yourself. Loving yourself is knowing your good side, your bad side, your all, because everyone has those components to them. Sometimes in life, those experiences or circumstances bring certain things out of you. And like you said, you have to have the right people around you to guide you to make sure that you do make the right choices in life. And it's all about respect. It's all about loyalty. It's all about honor. It's about integrity. It's about grace. It's about, you know, all those components of knowing who you are and becoming the best of who you are to help bring out the best in other people. So love is very important, and love is very dynamic. Love, I guess when people think of love, they don't think of chastisement, you know, because you have to tell when someone is doing something right or wrong. And that's what love is, because you want to make sure they always make their best choices in life.
Okay. I thank you so much for your interpretation. As you dwelled into that, you went right back, right into the person, yourself. Work on yourself to keep it together. Feature and the exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtain and the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community. But what benefits has the community gained from the artist? You see, Curtain is a review of the musical growth and history, the impact of their particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of the listening audience. That's you, Quest listener. Musical and lyrical social consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of time in what used to be record releases, evolved in CD releases, now streaming. Well, as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist's and his genius today and his involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world. And with the message of the artist, you know, communicating the effect on the community in a positive or negative way. Walter, good morning again.
Good morning, and we have about 9 more minutes until the show is over, so I want to get into my curtain for today, which is Marvin Gaye. Now, a lot of y'all out there already know about Marvin Gaye and listen to his music on a daily basis, but a little bit about Marvin Gaye is he sang in his father's church before signing with Motown. He recorded songs by Smokey Robinson before becoming his own producer on the protest album, What's Going On. Gaye later records developed his production style and yielded several hits, including Let's Get It On, Sexual Healing, and I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Now, a little bit about his political message. And in 1970, he was inspired by escalating violence and political unrest over the Vietnam War. So Gaye wrote the landmark song, What's Going On. Despite clashes with Motown over the song's creative direction, the single was released in 1971 and became an instant smash. Its success prompted Gaye to take even more risks, both musically and politically. When it was released in the spring of 1971, the What's Going On album served to open Gaye up to new audiences while maintaining his own Motown following. Departing from the tried and the true Motown formula, Gaye went out of his own artistically, paving the way for other Motown artists like Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson to branch out in later years. Beyond influencing his peers, the album garnered widespread critical acclaim, winning the Rolling Stone Album of the Year. And I want to touch real quick on another thing I found out about Marvin Gaye and his family. And it's a foundation called the Marvin Gaye Foundation. And if you want to check this out, go to their Facebook page at Marvin Gaye Foundation. But I have a little bit to read about them. And it says, utilizing the name recognition power of the Marvin Gaye legacy, the MG Foundation spotlights and empowers select top-rated organizations as well as individuals needing critical support, providing both financial and media support to their efforts and to create the greatest awareness and advocacy of the most important social causes evoked in the word and song by the late Marvin Gaye. With a profound responsibility to perpetuate the enduring dreams of his father, Marvin Gaye III, sets up to the humanitarian plate to provoke and ensure the greatest success and accomplishment for his father's pursuit of peaceful existence and the overall condition of humankind. Now that is the Marvin Gaye Foundation. They're there to really just empower and provide support to either low-income families or groups that needs both financial and media attention. And, you know, that is just something, a great achievement by Marvin Gaye and his family that they were able to do in Marvin Gaye's legacy. Now, you know, that's enough on Marvin Gaye. And it's time to hear the beautiful tunes of this music. So you are tuned into 89.5 WSOU, and let's hear a couple songs by the late, great Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye. We're going to come back to the sounds of Marvin Gaye, but what we're going to do is wrap up our program, have Walter shine us out, and then as we exit our program for today, right, we're going to listen to the sound of Marvin Gaye. All right? So I'd like to have the Black Librarian enthusiastically, everyone, what was your take on today's program, starting with Val, good morning.
Good morning. Great show. And talking about inspiration, the person that has inspired me for the longest time in my life has been my fabulous mother, who's always allowed me to express myself, whether she likes the expressions I've made or not. But my mother has been my greatest inspiration for most of my life.
Well, thank you for sharing. Mr. Harris, tell us, what was your take on today's program?
Again, another excellent show, and all I can say is support historical black colleges and universities. They're there for a reason. We need to take advantage of them.
Okay, let's get Calvin. Calvin, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's show everybody. I wish we could have a little more time to talk about the HBCU experience, being a product and alumni myself of the oldest Black historical college, Chapel Waters College in Jacksonville, Florida. I know a great deal about the purpose and the principles behind attending an HBCU. So good show. Keep up the good work, guys.
Okay. Let's get the Black Librarian in here. What's your take on today's show? Okay. Without any further ado, Walter, sign us out.
I would like to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of State Hall in South Orange. Again, this is Steve.
Until next week, we'll see you again, and thank you for tuning in for another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio.